You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Thursday. It's game day in Arkansas. The Razorbacks will play UAPB tonight at War Memorial Stadium down in Little Rock. It's kind of the game I guess everybody's been waiting for, even though it's the most unappealing game on the schedule. But you got to start somewhere. Matt Jones with Ethan Westerman this morning in studio. Our crew, most of us will be headed down to Little Rock tonight to watch the game. I won't because I've got to be in studio tomorrow morning. But Ethan's going to hit the road here in just a bit. Ethan, Sam Pittman spoke yesterday on the SEC coaches teleconference, and there were two kind of big pieces of news that came out of this. Number one is that Eli Stein, who was Arkansas's long snapper the last year or two, has left the team. And Austin Noh is going to be their long snapper moving forward. I've always said, and I think I even said this last week when we were talking about this, is that when you know the long snapper's name, it's not a good thing. It's like you want the long snapper to be maybe one of the most irrelevant people or most, you know, one of the people that you don't know so well on your team, because when you hear his name, it's usually because there's a mistake. So Austin Noh is going to be the long snapper for Arkansas. Eli Stein is gone. I want to get your thoughts on that. And then also, he said that Andrew Armstrong and Rashad DeBinion are going to be available but potentially limited and will not start against UAPB. Your thoughts on both of those?
Yeah, like you said, the long snapper, the more you hear their name, it's probably not a good thing. But Eli Stein, you've been hearing his name this preseason a little bit because he's on, you know, watch list for best long snapper in the nation, the Patrick Manley Award. He executed all 118 snaps that he did last year, which that's, you know, that's how you get on a list like that. So clearly a quality long snapper for the Razorbacks, and it's kind of, you know, a little jarring that it happens the week of a game. But Sam Pittman did say that Austin Noh was going to be their starter at punt snapping anyway, so I guess there was a real battle there in practices.
They were listed either or on the depth chart on Monday that came out before Pittman said that Stein had left the team.
Well, it sounds like Stein probably had these conversations with Scott Fountain and I'm assuming Sam Pittman as well early this week, probably before they did that, you know, listed the depth chart out. But he did say, even at our luncheon last week at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club, he said that Austin Noh was probably going to be doing their punt snapping. Mm-hmm. So, and then it was a close battle with the short snapping. So, you know, it seems like, you know, whenever you hear that you're losing a player that was on the national watch list for best at his position, like the initial thing is, even if it's the long snapper, to freak out, I guess. But it sounds like this guy, Austin Noh, gave him a run for his money in practice anyway. You know, but you are replacing somebody who started 23 games over the last 2 years in Eli Stein. So not ideal, but, you know, if we hear Austin Noh's name more, I guess that's how you know it really was a bigger deal. Because as long as we don't hear Austin Noh's name past...
should we be worried about special teams? Because you've got, again, like you said, he was going to be... Maybe when I say special teams, field goal. Because now you've got a new snapper on your field goal. Field goals are all about timing and rhythm. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, hitting a golf ball, hitting a baseball. It's all about that timing. And now you got a new snapper. It seems like I don't know if they have an either or at kicker because neither of them have performed well or because both of them have performed well. We don't know that yet. It just seems like it's a kind of an interesting dynamic going into the season that you've got a new snapper. And you've got a kicker battle that's still ongoing.
Yeah, well, going into this year, no matter what, Arkansas was about to be having a new punter and a new kicker, mm-hmm. like at the same time for the first time since, I believe, Sam Pittman's very first season.
Maybe the point I'm trying to make is that you would hope that they felt a little bit more sure about everything going into their first game.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Austin Noh, they like what he did in camp. I'd assume with the special teams guys, because we go to practice and they're always just kind of over on their own, just doing a lot of stuff. You would think that they've spent a lot of time, everybody working with each other, but it is an unknown. Like, whenever you look at the team and diagnose it this year, there's a lot of unknowns, but special teams might be at the very top just because you've never had any of these guys.
So with Andrew Armstrong not starting, does that mean we're going to see Monte Harrison in the starting role?
Possibly.
I mean, he's listed behind Armstrong at that position, receiver on the depth chart.
Yeah, well, Sam Pittman's also said C.J. Brown certainly in that conversation. Jordan Anthony's listed as a two on the depth chart. Can't forget that Isaac Tessaw started every single game for the Razorbacks last year. So if you want a guy who's used to starting, you have him. But I think this is the right approach to take against UAPB is if Andrew Armstrong is still recovering from he tweaked his hamstring or something, you know, in these practices, UAPB is probably not the game that you want to just go out there and test it. Probably give him an extra week to get healthy. It gives some of these other guys a chance. But I do think we will see Monte Harrison tonight. If we don't, then I think the depth chart, I think we'll see most receivers tonight. Mm-hmm. And if he's listed as a two on the depth chart, then it would make me think we're going to see him not in garbage time, that we'll see him pretty early.
DeBinion has been limited for probably close to 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. JaQuindon Jackson also was limited at one point, I think with an ankle injury. Is Jackson full go tonight?
I think so. They haven't said anything else. It's funny because with DeBinion, all they said was that he's been beat up a little. We don't really have a full injury report on DeBinion, but it sounds like, you know, Pittman was saying that DeBinion's got an opportunity to play more tonight than Andrew Armstrong. So it seems like they probably feel better about where he's at in recovery than they do Andrew Armstrong. But I would expect JaQuindon Jackson is back ready to roll because they haven't indicated anything else.
Arkansas and UAPB tonight. It's a 6:30 kickoff on ESPNU. Of course, you can watch that through all the different ESPN platforms as well. Ethan, you wrote this morning on our website, just kind of comparing and contrasting, I guess, a little bit Arkansas and UAPB. Tell us a little bit about that and just maybe what you're expecting to see tonight. And it's so hard right now because it's an unknown, because we're basing so much of this off of what these players have done in the past. And, you know, really we're going to have a different – I feel like, you know, especially with Arkansas players, we're going to have a different perception of them in a week or two after we actually see them, you know, in a Razorback uniform in a lot of cases. But then with some of them, you know, they're going to be different players than they were last year, good or bad.
Yeah. Well, comparing and contrasting Arkansas-UAPB is pretty hard to just not say. I don't want to just say, you know, Arkansas should beat them at every position, but it's the truth. Like,
they should.
They should. They it's
you have more players.
Yeah.
More scholarships to give out. You're in the SEC. You've got to have a roster that's supposed to compete with the SEC teams. You should outclass them at every single position handily. I mean, it shouldn't even be a question.
Mm-hmm. And UAPB, Alonzo Hampton, their coach, he's been saying, like, this is actually year one for them because last year he came in and just did not have the roster that he mm-hmm. wanted at all. But if you look at what they've done this year, they've added so many people just this summer, I believe. Like, there's for them, I would worry about just have they had enough time to even practice with each other, know each other? They've added about 50 new people to their team recently. So I don't think that Arkansas should have much problem with UAPB. But then again, that's how you get into a trap, is that you go into a game thinking that you don't got to worry about them.
Well, I mean, even the last couple of years when they played an FCS team, last year against Western Carolina, you think that they're going to wipe the floor with them. And they did. They beat them 56-13. But they had the offensive line issues mm-hmm. in that game. 2 years ago when Missouri State came in. Missouri State was a good FCS team coached by Petrino, but it was a tough game. I mean, mm-hmm. a real tough game, one where, you know, the Razorbacks, that is, they breathed a real sigh of relief when that game was over. To me, some of the things that I think I'm watching for tonight are the offensive line. Can they blow UAPB off the ball? Because if you can't push UAPB off the line of scrimmage, you're not going to push Oklahoma State off the line of scrimmage next week. You're not going to push the teams off the line of scrimmage in the SEC. And, you know, I just want to pause for a second and say that I'm fully aware that what you see tonight is not going to be a finished product for either of these teams, but it's not a finished product for the other teams either. And you know what's on the schedule later on with the type of, you know, defensive lines you're going to see. So that's number one. Number two, I want to see what's the timing like between the quarterbacks and the receivers. Petrino's offense is, you know, every offense is built on timing, but, you know, he's so there's such an attention to detail with Petrino that I'm interested to see just how well that operates tonight defensively. Kind of the same thing with the offense. The offensive line, can they blow the defensive line off the ball? Defensive line, can they get a push against the UAPB offensive front? Because, again, it's not going to be anything like what they're going to see on down the line. Beginning next week with Oklahoma State, who has the oldest offensive line in college football. Are you giving up big plays defensively? What do things look like in the special teams? This feels like a game, the FCS game, where you should score or you've got a higher probability to score a touchdown on special teams. Think about when Arkansas and UAPB played last time, Nathan Perotti had a punt return for a touchdown, yeah, right?
His only one of his career.
Yeah. Bryce Stevens against Missouri State had a big punt return touchdown that was a huge part of that fourth quarter comeback in that game. They had some big plays. I think they had about a 40-something yard kickoff last year against Western Carolina. So these are the types of games, because special teams is always where you can tell the depth of a team and the skill set and the talent. It feels like, you know, Satania, could he have a big play tonight, yeah, in either the kickoff or the punt return game? Can you block a punt in this game? Those are just some of the things that I'm interested in, yeah, seeing.
And I wrote about that in this piece about, could Satania get loose on him in a punt return? If you look at UAPB, I know they don't even have the same roster really as last year, but so it's kind of comparing apples to oranges when you look at their last year numbers, but they were 114th in FCS last year, which is 9 away from worst in kick return defense. So could be susceptible to a big Satania return against them. I think that is, if Arkansas wins the coin toss, I think they probably elect to receive the ball, because number one, if you
Petrino love doing that.
Yeah, if you get the ball and you can, I think what you want to do against an FCS team is take the spirit out of them right away. If you can return the opening kickoff, number one, you're already I don't even know what the line is now. It was 48.5. Maybe it's grown. Maybe it's shrunk. I don't know. But they're already a big underdog.
I think it was 52.5, and it came down a little bit to 48.
Goodness. But they're already, you know, facing the underdog, you know, they're already having to embrace that mentality. But if you can get off to either a kickoff return in the beginning that gets you way down the field, or a touchdown, and you on offense score really quick, the underdog really starts feeling it, I think, right away.
I feel like in this game, it's not so much they're playing against UAPB, and UAPB is again, we're talking about not just a conference level between these two teams, we're talking about subdivisions. An FCS team, and then UAPB is one of the worst teams on the FCS level. It's not so much playing against UAPB, Ethan, as I think it is playing against perfection. How close can we get to doing everything that we want to do perfectly is is achievable in this game tonight? And if you come, you know, even halfway there, you're probably going to win the game by a very comfortable margin.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, honestly, you want to go into a game, I think I might have said this yesterday, you want to go into a game like this and your goal is to be as close just at every facet to just looking good. Because here's the thing, you can look good against an FCS team, like really good, and it doesn't mean anything, because the next week against Oklahoma State, you don't look good there. But if you look bad against UAPB in anything, that does speak volumes. Because if you look bad against UAPB in run blocking, you better believe you'll look bad against Oklahoma State. There is, I think, watching the field goal kicking tonight, you know, I don't think they want to have to settle for many of them. I think they want to get in the end zone with Petrino. But if they have to kick a 35-yard field goal and it's a miss, you know, you just aren't used to that with having Cam Little the past few years. Mm-hmm. You know, that'd be a little telling. I think that you look for how close can we get to, if you're the Razorbacks, you look at how close can we get to just not having any glaring problems.
You can get the latest Razorback news at wholehogsports.com. We think it's the most in-depth source for all of your Arkansas sports analysis, the latest in recruiting from Richard Davenport, unique stories on all the teams. This morning at wholehogsports.com, you can read Anthony Christensen's preview of a soccer match this evening between Arkansas and Gonzaga over at Razorback Field. The Razorbacks are number 6 in this week's national poll. We'll have a recap of that game tonight as well as on our website. You can subscribe right now at wholehogsports.com. Another story that we've got up today, Ethan, talks about the improvements that the folks at War Memorial say that they've made since last year's, I guess maybe just kind of disaster. It seemed like they had all kinds of game day management problems down at the stadium last year. They've got they're expecting it's going to be another hot night tonight. Now, last year they played Western Carolina in the middle of the day on a Saturday. It was close to 100 degrees. I think the heat index was over 100 during that game. Obviously, it's a night game, so that will help, but they're expecting a real muggy, hot night tonight down as this game gets going. And of course, it gets going during the daytime. Even though it's not the middle of the day, it'll still be daytime outside at 6:30 when this game gets going. They've got fans installed at the main gates around the concourse. They've got cooling tents and cool-down rooms around the stadium. Free water stations are in the stadium tonight. Additional concession stands, 4 drink-only stands. Of course, one of the big problems last year was that the stadium acknowledged that they ran out of water bottles at some of their concession stands before the fourth quarter began last year, and they've got some...
They have a thing called the water monster they're doing this year now.
The water monster?
Yes, it holds 250 gallons of cold water. So it seems like they were like, we're not just fixing what happened last year. We're overcorrecting majorly. Like, because I saw some stuff about the water monster that's now going to be a war memorial.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess they said, we ran out of water last year. Let's get you a big old tank that'll hold 250 gallons.
You know what I shouldn't say it's the big water concern this year, but there's a chance when it's this humid that you could have some rain and maybe even a lightning delay in this game tonight.
Do not even wish that upon us. My brain had not even gone there. And if that happens tonight, I hope that the mercy rule can come into effect again.
Well, there is no mercy rule though. That's the thing. That was what was so weird about when Arkansas and UAPB played a few years ago, was that I have never seen a college football game where the coaches got together at halftime and was like, hey, you want to shorten the second half?
They're like, please show mercy.
That was wild. I mean, they shortened the second half by three minutes in each quarter, 6 minutes overall. But in this story on our site, they do talk to one of the meteorologists from the National Weather Service down in Little Rock, and they say that there's a little bit of a chance for lightning tonight. Not a great chance, but a little bit. And you know how the lightning rule goes is that if you have lightning within 8 miles of the stadium, that's an automatic 30-minute timeout from the game. So
I'm getting absolute PTSD from baseball regionals.
Oh, you need to cover baseball more because baseball gets you ready for this.
I'd cover softball, and let me tell you, the weather at Bogle Park is usually the same as down there at Baum.
Hey, we want to tell you real quick about the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. Kevin Trainer is our next speaker at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. Pittman was there last week. Kevin will be there on September 4th. Kevin, longtime administrator with the Razorbacks, also the president of what used to be called COSIDA, but it's a network of communication professionals across college sports. Interested to talk to him later this month or next month. Brandon Marcello on September 11th. Jordan Weber, the Arkansas gymnastics coach, on September 18th. Hunter Juracek on September 25th. We also have some dates going into October. You can read all about it and reserve your tickets for those luncheons at OzarksTix.com. That's OzarksTix.com. All right, when we come back, there's a lot of new rule changes in college football this year. We're going to go over those rule changes, but first a word from our sponsors.
LPGA Week in Northwest Arkansas returns September 23rd through the 29th for the 18th consecutive year. Watch former Razorbacks and 2024 Olympians Maria Fassi and Gabby Lopez compete against the world's best female golfers at the Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship, presented by P&G at Pinnacle Country Club in Rogers. The NWA Championship is so much more than a golf tournament, with something for everyone to enjoy and activities for fans of all ages. Daily tickets are only $10, and kids 17 and under get in free with a ticketed adult. Get your tickets today at nwachampionship.com. At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
And welcome back. We appreciate you being with us this morning as we kind of count down to tonight's game between Arkansas and UAPB at War Memorial Stadium. We want to tell you about Hogs Illustrated, by the way. You can stay on top of all the Razorback sports with a digital subscription to the Hogs Illustrated app. It gives you complete access to our website at wholehogsports.com. Monthly subscriptions begin at $17. This is the latest magazine that we have here. There's a cover story on Talen Green that Ethan wrote. Plenty of stuff inside this magazine. I'm looking at it here. Anthony Christensen with a feature on Darius Acuff, the latest Razorback basketball commit, talking to some of his coaches. So hogsillustrated.com/subscribe. If you want to subscribe, $17 a month is what subscriptions begin. Or you can call 479-684-5509. And as I've said many times when I talk about HI, if you will get subscribed now, you can get our basketball preview that's coming up here in a few weeks. We're in the process of putting that together right now. All right. New rules in college football this year, Ethan. We saw these. If you watched the Week Zero games, you know, 5 days ago, you saw a lot of these that were already in place. I guess it's hard to say that there's one that's any bigger than the other, but I think probably just from an operational standpoint, the biggest change this year is the communications between the coach and the players on the field. Each offense, each defense gets one player with a radio in his helmet. You can tell who that is because they've got a little green dot on the back of their helmet. You see this in the NFL for 30 years. This came into the NFL in 1994. Really cost measures is what's kept this out of college football. And then Connor Stallions comes along and everybody's ready to pay the price to get this implemented. It really moved fast, a lot faster than maybe a lot of rule changes move. But you know, Bobby Petrino, Sam Pittman, Talen Green, they've all talked about this on the offensive side. We've heard from Travis Williams and the different defensive players who are going to be wearing these headsets too. Just what's been their kind of feedback about this new rule?
Yeah, well, I have what Travis Williams said fresh on my mind because I was listening to it on the way over here just to kind of refresh, and it aligns with what Bobby Petrino and Sam Pittman have indicated, that really the headset communication will probably benefit the offense. Travis Williams was saying that all these teams will just go tempo now. You go tempo, go really fast, and the defense, you don't really have a lot of time to adjust. You know, he said that he expects scoring to be up in college football this year across the board. He thinks mm-hmm. offenses will score more. It's really, yeah, just kind of uncharted waters for college football, as far as we haven't seen exactly how this is going to, if it will benefit the offense. But the consensus right now is it really will. The defense is having to just get better at still signaling on the sidelines to kind of adjust to what the offense is doing. He said that Travis Williams said that Arkansas is 9 of the 12 teams that they're playing this year expected to go tempo. And so he thinks that they just have to be ready to really signal fast and change their signals to make adjustments on the fly as the offense just kind of sits and dissects, you know, what are they in, what can we run.
You get to have this on until 15 seconds left on the play clock, mm-hmm. and then it goes off. I want to know who is the guy who gets to turn the communications off. I mean, is there somebody sitting there in the, maybe the replay booth, and they just...
Yeah, that's what I've actually wondered about this too, because I'm like, when is the first time that we get our scandal about did that team really turn theirs off?
Yeah.
Is it run by the home team? Is it run by...
I don't know. I'd be interested to know. I'm thinking that it probably has to be run in some way by whoever the conference is that's officiating the game.
Yeah, well, for this non-conference game, I don't know who the officiating crew is for Arkansas. UAPB, but do you have an extra official that goes now and they're just in charge of headset communication turning off and on? I don't know. It's just, it's really a lot of, I would like to know the actual, you know, you're one thing to tell me it turns off in 15 seconds. I want to know how it's actually being operated. Mm-hmm.
What this does is it's going to give, I think, the coaches a lot of opportunity because, you know, in the past you signal in the play or you hold up one of those, big boards and they give them the play, but now the coach can communicate with them, and it's more than just saying, hey, run this play. Hey, when you run this play, watch this guy and what he does, and if he does that, then maybe you go to this. I think it's going to allow the coaches to have a lot more input on what's going on in the field than before this technology.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, whenever you have a Bobby Petrino who's just known for being an offensive kind of mastermind, I'll be curious to see, you know, how big the Razorbacks can adjust. Like, if you see them maybe the first driver to struggle,
mm-hmm.
see if they have a tendency to maybe to kind of pick it up as the game goes is you have Bobby Petrino just kind of diagnosing and talking to Taylen Green.
You know, Petrino was talking about how – well, this is actually kind of a conflation of two conversations that I've had in the last year or so. But Petrino has talked about he didn't get to, you know, run his playbook at Texas A&M. He had to learn someone else's language, and then he had to call plays from that playbook. And then, you know, I was talking to Sam Pittman about when you hire an offensive coordinator, how you have to let them do what they want to do because they have to be able to get that stuff out of their mouth fast. Mm-hmm. And that's important, you know, when you've got now this technology where, I mean, you're only going to have at most 25 seconds to talk to your players. Can you imagine Jimbo Fisher, by the way, with this as fast? He talks like an auctioneer.
He's going to get normal 15 seconds amount worth of words. He'll fit 30 seconds worth in there. I mean, oh my goodness, I can't imagine having him in my ear during a game.
I always felt bad for the A&M beat reporters because they had to transcribe his press conferences.
Oh my goodness, that's the beauty of going to AT&T Stadium. I mean, won't have this past this year.
When you cover him, you need one of those court reporters. You know, the people who they've got their machines where they, you know, it speeds
I'll
it up.
I'll also be curious to hear if, like, you know, what happens. There are some hothead coaches across the country, plenty of them.
Yeah.
What happens the first time that you have a offensive coordinator who's in his quarterback who's struggling ear when with his team down like 24-3 or something, and he's just ticked off at this point? Do we hear stories about the quarterbacks like, yeah, the headset communication, all it was me getting chewed out?
Well, and it'll be interesting, like, does this work routinely? Or are we going to see a lot of times where we hear, hey, the headset is... You hear this in baseball because they wear, you know, they wear headsets in baseball too, and of course they got PitchCom now. That's part of baseball, and you hear it sometimes in a baseball game. It's like, you know, hey, this isn't working. And sometimes they'll bring somebody out and they're able to fix it right away, and then sometimes both teams have to take it off until it works. So
yeah, they've definitely been talking about like what they got to do when the first time that it just isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a plan.
Tablets are going to be allowed on the sideline this year. Again, NFL, we've seen this for several years. You see the Microsoft tablets on the NFL sidelines. This is the first time that college teams are going to be able to have this.
Yeah, and this is actually Travis Williams said on whenever he was speaking about the rule changes. He said that everybody loves to talk about the helmet communications, but he said this is probably bigger because now if you aren't ready to make adjustments at halftime as a defense,
mm-hmm.
You said you better believe with these tablets, the offense is like you're going to. It seems like the biggest thing with these tablets is just adjustments. You just make if you aren't ready to use them to make those adjustments, the other team is get ready to be in for a day. You know, I'm not too savvy on like, you know, how exactly like the technology on these iPads are like what what all you can do. But it seems from hearing him speak, what you're going to be able to do is just really in quick time be able to pull up, you know, the last drive, point out they were in this defense. You know, if you see them in this defense, we're going to check to this.
Mm-hmm.
And then at halftime, you can really, really do a lot of make a lot of changes. So I don't really know a lot about the iPads. All I know is Travis Williams said he thinks that they're probably a bigger deal.
Yeah, there's some new clock rules that are supposed to change things up in terms of, you know, first downs and incompletions. I think that's going to make it maybe a little bit more like NFL timing rules. And then you got the 2-minute warning. Now, they don't want you to call it the 2-minute warning. In college football, they're asking for it to be called the 2-minute timeout, but it's the 2-minute warning. I don't think they're going to win that argument. We saw this in Florida State, Georgia Tech the other day. It seemed like the game went by really fast, even with this 2-minute warning and all the timeouts at the end and the commercials. I said this the other day, it from the point that the 2-minute warning started to the time Georgia Tech kicked that field goal to win the game was 17 minutes in real time. And that was because, and then you didn't have any, you know, replays or anything like that. It was just because Florida State kept calling timeouts and you had the 2-minute warning in there too. So it's going to slow, I feel like it's going to slow the game down at the end of the half potentially, especially for teams that have timeouts and when it's a close game. But the games may be sped up, you know, for the first 28 minutes of each half.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on the offense and you're down by 4 points, you got the ball with 2 minutes, I don't know, 2 minutes, 15 seconds left, mm-hmm. you're trying to squeeze an extra play in before that 2-minute warning comes. You know, it's just going to be a ton of situational. I mean, everybody's familiar with it that watches the NFL, like how it affects the game. Essentially, you know, for a defense, You get down in the end of the game and you're down and you need the ball back. This 2-minute warning can be huge. 2-minute mm-hmm. timeout. I need to stop calling it the warning, but it can be huge to try and get you the ball back. I think anybody who's familiar, you know, has watched the NFL for a number of years, you know how, and like, it's one of those things that is so important whenever you get down to situational and needing an extra timeout you don't have.
And then from a television production standpoint, again, more NFL style stuff. I think that's kind of the real theme that we're hitting on here. A couple of things that stand out to me, maybe three. Number one, after a touchdown, after change of possession, you're going to see the Steadicams come out on the field and, you know, be right up in the right up there with the players. That's going to be allowed now. One of the network cameras is going to be allowed. You're going to see head coach interviews between quarters. And then one of the things that really stood out to me watching Georgia Tech Florida State the other day was that it was not Georgia Tech's head coach Brent Key who got interviewed going off the field. It was their quarterback, Haynes King. You're going to see player interviews in games now, at least before halftime.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it just seems like a lot of things kind of shifting to what you see in the NFL, getting it treated like, you know, and you think about it, it just goes hand in hand with, you know, athletes are getting paid now with NIL. And it's just kind of like trying to, no, it's not going to be exactly like the NFL, of course, but incorporate more into the college game that fits that, you know, semi-professional feel.
It's a viewing experience that people look. The NFL viewing experience is a lot better than the college viewing experience, by and large. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think if you turn on NBC Sunday Night Football, it's going to be a better production than, say, Notre Dame's football game on NBC. The same thing can go for CBS broadcasts, whatever. And so it's adapting those things that have become popular in the NFL, whether or not, you know, I mean, you can think what you want to about in-game head coach interviews. They usually stink.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a good coach is not going to say anything. Sometimes the coach will actually be, you know, forthcoming and they'll give some good insight. But whether you like it or not, it's something that's popular. It's something that I think has kind of become expected. And it's something that's now trickling its way down to college football.
Yeah, for sure. And those are always interesting, seeing the coaches in the middle of a, you know, at a timeout.
Well, they're not live, by the way. The interviews are not live. So what's going to happen is that, you know, the first quarter will end. Kyle Parkinson, who's Arkansas Sports Information Director or Communications Director, whatever they call themselves now, he'll be standing there with the reporter and with Sam Pittman. And pretty much the minute that quarter ends, they're going to get on camera. Yeah. They're going to talk for 30, 40 seconds. And then Pittman's going to get back to, you know, coaching the team for the rest of that timeout.
I will say something that this is related but unrelated. I was watching WNBA the other day, and they are having the coaches get interviewed, like in-game interview, and they hate it. Mm. It was so clear. It was so terrible. I was like, this is painful to watching these coaches get interviewed.
Is that at the end of the quarter, or is it like as the game's going? See, because the NFL's talking about this year,
yeah,
about the network can choose whenever they want to talk to the head coach one time. And the coaches aren't happy about this at all.
And I think it was Becky Hannon who I was watching get interviewed in the middle of a game, and the audio, she couldn't hear them. And she was trying to coach in the middle of trying to hear them and she was so frustrated. She finally was like, I have to take this off. I can't do this.
It's one thing to do it in a game that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like I was watching KU in Illinois during a basketball exhibition last year, back in October. And, you know, they're interviewing Bill Self as the game's going on. They're interviewing Brad Underwood as a game. Okay, that's a game that, even though it matters, it doesn't matter. It's one thing to do it then versus doing it in a game that's going to, you know, affect potentially your playoff seeding, or if you even make the playoffs at all. So
when coaches know that, you know, it's not like they aren't watching games all the time from their own home.
Yeah.
They understand the value that it adds, you know, that a good production adds, but it is got to be frustrating. You know, you got to cross, that's a fine line you cross of like, at what point are you really hindering a coach from being able to do their job and frustrating them as opposed to enhancing the, you know, the overall quality of the broadcast.
All right, we got plenty more to get to. The SEC has released its new theme song with ABC. We want to react to this. Also going to give you our predictions for the weekend, but first, another word from our sponsors.
Taste, sip, sample, and discover the very best restaurants and chefs Northwest Arkansas has to offer at the Bite Experience at the LPGA, a unique culinary experience on site at the Northwest Arkansas Championship. Tickets are available Friday, September 27th through Sunday, September 29th, offering access to the best golf viewing and food and beverage samples from over 30 local restaurants. You don't want to miss this. Tickets are available for $45 a day. Get yours before they sell out at BiteNWA.com. At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back as we continue to count down to Arkansas and UAPB tonight at War Memorial Stadium. I want to tell you about Bentonville Glass, serving its community since 1971. They're committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs and the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Okay, so the SEC this morning really finally, you know, it's like they have guarded this music like a state secret, by the way. They put out the music that they're going to have for the SEC on ABC package. No more SEC games on CBS this year. Everything is on ESPN affiliate, or Disney, maybe might be the better word to use, but, you know, ESPN, Disney affiliate. So you'll have games on ABC, you'll have games on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, and on, SEC Network. And so they put this new music out, and there have been a lot of people that have been kind of anticipating this because, you know, they've been on CBS for so long, and that CBS theme is such an iconic tune. It's like, so, you know, what are they going to do? Well, Blake's got it pulled up here, and this is the music that they have chosen to have for the SEC on ABC. It's a twist. It's a new twist on an old ESPN tune. Have you heard this, by the way?
No.
Okay, so it doesn't get much better than that. That's about the climax of the song. I kept waiting for it, you know, to like just hit. You know, I don't know. It falls flat to me.
Give me the CBS theme song back. I know, maybe I'm just a, you know, it's my childhood.
Yeah.
But the first time I hear that song with Northwestern Rutgers, it's just going to make me want to puke. I mean, that was a masterpiece. And,
but it predated the SEC on CBS. You know, that song was actually written for a Super Bowl. It was written for the Super Bowl that had the Broncos and the Giants in the 80s, I think.
Ah, well.
And then somehow it, you know, I think CBS got college football rights within a couple of years. You know, this was in that range where the Supreme Court case was kind of manifesting itself. And then, it has stuck with college football. And then, of course, the SEC was on there for so long that a lot of people just associate it with the SEC. So you heard that song. We got another one queued up. This is the old ESPN tune that they're trying to kind of spoof off. Now this is the music of my childhood right here. And by the way, this is way better, I think, than the new Blake's gonna pull this down. But this is way better than the new one. And that's, when I hear that, I think of Ron Franklin coming on from Legion Field in Birmingham, and I'm about to watch Peyton Manning play against the Crimson Tide. I mean, that's, I love that song.
Nostalgia is a strong thing.
It is.
And let me tell you, I think for
they
me.
They could have chosen that. They've still got the rights to that song.
Well, the thing for me is I need my SEC on CBS with Vern Lundquist getting ready to come on.
Or, Blake, is he's going to pull this one up. They had the old ABC tune that they could have played. Are you old enough to remember that one?
No. If I'm ranking my, from what I just heard from the three, I think that one's my last place.
Is that really?
Yeah.
See, that's my first place right there. I hear that, and I think of John Saunders in New York. I think of Brad Nessler, Brent Musburger. I'm watching some random mid-afternoon game on the West Coast, Pac-12.
Well.
Or Pac-10, I guess, at that time.
Give me, you know, The first one that we listened to, the one that they're using for this year, I didn't hate it. Didn't love it, though. I need to love it. You know, I think Sam Pittman's used this quote referencing players on the Arkansas football team as far as their on-the-field play. I like it, need to love it.
Okay. So. And then, I mean, of course, this is what they're all being judged against.
Yeah. Doesn't get better. I mean, what are we doing?
I mean, are you ready to...
A part of me just died.
Are you ready to see the horseshoe from the air with that song hitting?
Oh, my goodness. Seriously, a part of me has died without that being a part of SEC games this year.
You're going to have that song playing with snow falling, Penn State in Ann Arbor.
And I won't be watching. I can't do it.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to mute the TV when the game's starting and play that, what we just listened to, maybe for every game.
Yeah, that's a great strategy. You know, I'll just mute the start of the Arkansas-Texas game and, you know, voiceover.
So Blake and I were talking about this earlier. You know why CBS has been so successful is because they just play the hits, right? I mean, they're playing Merle Haggard, they're playing Waylon Jennings before every game, and that's what the people want to hear. There's something about college football. And we talked about this earlier this week with War Memorial. It's about tradition. It's like you want to be able to come to the table or come to the couch in 2024 and turn on a college football game and feel the same way you did 20 years ago. You want to. Mm-hmm. And that's why CBS, in addition to many other things, CBS, their production value, way better than the other networks, by the way. That's why there's a nostalgia there that I think people have really appreciated with CBS, whether it be the music, whether it be they know they're going to kind of get the same camera angles. They know that they're going to have the familiar voices, whether it be Vern Lundquist or now Brad Nessler. Gary Danielson's been with them for a long time, love him or hate him. He's a constant figure on that network. I'm interested. ESPN is going to be fine this year. ABC is going to be fine doing these SEC games. It is going to take a little bit of time to get used to, though, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that they'll probably do a good job with the ESPN and or SEC on ABC. It's just going to take time to, you know, appreciate it probably.
Hey, by the way, did you see the Razorbacks who made the NFL rosters?
I've not looked at the full list, but I could guess who all of them are.
Here's a trivia question for you. There are two NFL rosters that have three former Razorbacks. Do you know the two?
Lions?
That's one.
I feel like this next one's a trick one.
there's a little bit of a theme between the two.
Is it the Vikings?
No.
No?
It's the Jaguars.
Oh, wow.
It's because they both have kickers. Cam Little is with the Jaguars.
Jake Bates
is with the Lions. The Lions also have Dan Skipper and Frank Ragnow. Jaguars also have Jeremiah Ledbetter and Monteric Brown.
I knew Monteric Brown and Cam Little because Monteric Brown had a good season last year, but I didn't know Ledbetter was with them.
Hey, here's the rest of the list real quick. John Ridgeway is with the Saints. Cam Curl and Bo Limmer are with the Rams. Both of those are new players there this year. Brandon Allen and Dre Greenlaw are both with the 49ers, but Greenlaw is still out with that Achilles injury. He's on the physically unable to perform list. Yelda Froholt is with the Cardinals. Dwight McLaughlin is with the Vikings. We mentioned that yesterday. T.J. Smith is with the Panthers. Drew Sanders is on the PUP list with the Broncos, so he's not able to play right now. And Treylon Burks is with the Titans. One of the cuts that I thought was really interesting this week, and it's because he's only a couple of years in there, is that Ricky Stromberg, who I think got some decent playing time last year with the Commanders, was cut by them.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard that.
I would think that he probably gets picked up quickly.
Yeah,
and signed to somebody's either active roster or at least to their practice
squad. Last year
squad.
Was his rookie year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll talk more about the NFL Razorbacks, the Pro Hogs, as they are called, as we get closer to the NFL season next week. All right, let's go through predictions. We do this at the end of usually we do this on our Friday show, but because it's a Thursday game week this week, we're going to do that this week. We'll end with Arkansas and Arkansas Pine Bluff, but we'll run through some of the other big games. A couple of them tonight, worth note, North Carolina is at Minnesota. Who you got?
You know?
A couple of former Arkansas Arkansas-born QBs in this game.
Yeah.
I don't know that either of them are going to play, but you've got Jacoby Criswell at North Carolina, and you got Drake Lindsey at Minnesota.
I'm going to pick Minnesota. I don't really know why. Couldn't give you a great reason. I just like these early season games if you're playing at some – like I like the home team a lot of times. I mean, you think about Utah at Florida a few mm-hmm. years ago. I'm not sure Florida was the better team that year, but it was early in the season. They were playing in the swamp.
Remember last year Minnesota beat Nebraska on like mm-hmm. on a last – or I think like a last minute, last couple of minutes on this Thursday night game. I'm going to go with Minnesota, too, just because I think it's a toss-up, even though I think North Carolina could be really good with Mac Brown. There is a lot of interest tonight in this game in Boulder. You've got Colorado hosting North Dakota State. Obviously, you know, a lot of people call North Dakota State the Alabama of the FCS.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick North Dakota State.
You're going with it.
I'm going with it. I think,
like about a 9-point underdog.
Yeah, and I really don't know. I don't know why people are so high on Colorado still. Like, what have they done to make?
I mean, they've got Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter.
They did last year too, and they won four games.
Hunter was hurt most of last year. I'm totally with you, by the way. I totally understand. I think Colorado, the amount of coverage they get for the the product on the field, it doesn't add up.
Yeah,
but
I just have respect for North Dakota State, and I'm gonna pick them.
I think Colorado will win. Again, it's at home. And I think it's one of those deals where they've heard all offseason, like, hey, you guys are going to be the team that gets picked off in week one. Mm-hmm. I think it could be a really, really fun competitive game. Moving to Saturday games, Miami goes to Florida. A lot of people are wondering about the job status of the two head coaches in this game. Who do you think wins in the Swamp?
I'm picking Miami. I went back and forth with this one. I just think Miami has a decent team this year. Like, I expect them to finish toward the top of their conference. And I don't think Florida is very good.
They've got who's it? Cam Ward
yep.
is coming in at quarterback at Miami. I've gone with Florida, and again, it goes back to it's that week one. I feel like when you're at home, there's a huge advantage to being at home in week one for some reason. Maybe I'm wrong about this.
Yeah.
Remember, Florida beat Utah 2 years ago in the Swamp on the opening weekend, and Utah was a far superior team to Florida.
Yeah, I just said that a second ago.
Oh, did you say that?
Yeah, that's why I said picking the North.
I was looking at Blake through the producer.
That's why I said I'm picking Minnesota was based off Utah, Florida a couple years ago.
I missed that.
No, you're good.
Yeah. So anyway, I got Florida. Miami. You can see how much I pay attention. One of the big games Saturday is Notre Dame goes to Texas A&M. College game day is going to be there. I feel bad for not listening to you, by the way.
No, it's funny. It's more.
I promise I listen. I think 88% of what you say I listen to.
I thought it was intentional at first till I realized, no, we're at a point where you don't remember I said this.
Notre Dame goes to Texas A&M. Kyle Field's going to be rocking Saturday night. Game day is going to be there Saturday morning. Both of these teams are ranked. Mike Elko, he's got ties to both of these teams. Of course, was the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, then went to A&M. Obviously been the head coach at Duke in between. This is a tough one, I feel like.
Yeah, this is a good game. This is maybe my favorite of week one. I really like this. It's going to be like very entertaining. Two fan bases that are just talk about having a presence everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick Notre Dame. I think that It's really tough in your first game with a new coach. I like Mike Elko. I really do. I just think it's tough to get asked to get a win against Notre Dame in your first game. And I'd go back and forth, but I'm picking Notre Dame.
A couple of defensive-minded head coaches in this game. You got Mike Elko and Marcus Freeman. I like the fact that the Aggies have got Connor Wegman back at quarterback. Mm-hmm. They're at home. They've got Wegman back. I think they pull the upset. I think there's going to be so much momentum. It feels, even though when Pittman beat Texas, it was year two, it was the first time that the fans could really come out and, you know, watch them in a big game. That's what that kind of feels like to me right now. And Kyle Field is a hard, hard place to win. I think A&M could beat them.
The crazy thing about that game, too, is it's an upset based on the AP ranking. Notre Dame 7, A&M's 20. But I think A&M's
the betting favorite.
They have the betting favorite right now. So
3-point favorite.
Just depends how you look at it. But that's maybe, for me, the hardest one to pick all week.
Hey, another FCS, FBS game. South Dakota State goes to Oklahoma State. Of course, we're interested in this because the Razorbacks go to Stillwater next weekend. South Dakota State has won the last two FCS national championships, and Oklahoma State hasn't been real good early in the season. They had some struggles in the past, whether it be Missouri State coming in there and giving them a game early. South Alabama beat them really bad in Stillwater last season. They struggled with an FCS team, another FCS team at home. South Dakota State, this could be another one where it feels like Oklahoma State should win, but it's probably not going to be, you know, that traditional FBS, FCS score.
Yeah, talking about North Dakota State, Colorado, that's a 9.5-point spread. South Dakota State, Oklahoma State's also a 9.5-point spread, which tells you a lot. I think it tells you more of how people view those FCS programs than really how they view the Colorado one has a little bit to do with people thinking they're not all that. But Oklahoma State has respect. I mean, they were in the Big 12 championship game a year ago, and they're coming out against an FCS team and they're not a double-digit favorite. I'm going to go Oklahoma State. I think they've got a good team. I do think this will be close.
I was reading a column the other day by Barry Trammell over at the Tulsa World, who's covered sports in Oklahoma forever, and he said that when Matt Rhule got the job at Nebraska, he said one of the first things that he told the people who helped him make the schedule was, do not schedule me a team from the Dakotas.
Yeah.
This is an interesting game.
Oklahoma State does not play well at the beginning of the year. It's a continual
thing.
Don't. You remember the year that it was the year before Arkansas-Missouri State played. Bobby Petrino took Missouri State.
Yeah, 26-19. I just said that, by the way.
Oh.
See, so now you've gotten me back.
There we go. We're not listening to each other very well today.
We've got communication problems here. Yeah. Clemson plays Georgia in Atlanta Saturday. This is, if you listen to The Athletic, these are two Tier 1 head coaches, Dabo Swinney and Kirby Smart, the only two coaches in football right now with two national championships. Clemson, you know, they're not far from Atlanta, but obviously Atlanta, that's a Bulldog town. It's going to be more of a home game for the Bulldogs. I think it's like a 13-point spread right now between Georgia and Clemson. Do you think Clemson's got any chance?
No. I'm picking Georgia they're going to cover by a lot, in my opinion.
Kirby Smart, and again, he comes from the Saban tree. Saban, whenever you would give his teams very much time to prepare for a team, no contest.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what it's like with Georgia. Remember, Oregon went in there with a really good team a couple of years ago, and Georgia wiped the floor with them in this same game in Atlanta. I think Clemson could be really good. I like the fact that they don't do things the way everybody else does it. I know Dabo gets a lot of crap for that, but I like the fact that, you know, they've got a model, they've got something that has worked for them, and they've been really good with it for a lot of years. Phil Steele said the other day that he thought Clemson could be a team that a lot of people are sleeping on. I still think Georgia beats them. I think Georgia, there's a lot. They've had to live for the entire offseason hearing about how they didn't get to win their third consecutive national championship. I think those players are going to be, really out to prove a point on Saturday. One more before we get to Arkansas and UAPB. Sunday night in Las Vegas, USC and LSU. This should be maybe the game to watch this weekend.
See, on the outset, I think that this is the game to watch this weekend. I think LSU is going to handle business, though.
Do you?
I do.
Even with a new quarterback, that's my.
Even with a new quarterback.
USC's got a new quarterback, too. Both of these teams are having to replace the last two Heisman Trophy winners at quarterback. Yeah.
Then again, last year I said the same thing about that game in, was it Orlando or Charlotte against Florida State? Orlando, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida State came out and just took it to them.
Yeah.
I like LSU.
Florida State can play defense, though. I don't know that USC knows that exists.
LSU's a 4-point favorite. I like them by more than that.
It'll be an interesting game. I think I'm going with LSU just because I like LSU more. I think they're a better coach team. I think Kelly puts more emphasis on the whole product as opposed to, you know, like it or not, I feel like Lincoln Riley is very narrowly focused on offense. And I think he's just kind of got and I'm not saying they don't care about defense there, but I think they've got kind of a philosophy that we can just outscore everybody. Mm-hmm. You can't outscore everybody, and I think that's kind of been USC's problem. All right, Arkansas and UAPB tonight down at War Memorial Stadium. Arkansas is a 48.5-point favorite in this game, and when you get these games like this, we think Arkansas is going to win the game. The question is, Ethan, can they cover?
I'm going to say they will not cover. And that's not me saying I don't think they'll dominate. That's me saying I think this is a crazy big spread to cover. UAPB, against FBS stats, they're 0-10 all time. They've never scored more than 11 points against an FBS team. They've been beaten by an average 50-6 score. So if that's your average, I mean, you're averaging getting beat by 44. But all that to say, 40, they're not good. They aren't going to win this game. It's going to be a blowout, in my opinion. If it's anything other than that, Arkansas's got some serious problems. But the 48 points to cover that is a lot. I don't know if they're going to switch to, you know, Arkansas beat them 45-3 in 2021. Would have been a lot worse before they switched to the mercy rule or whatever that we don't know how it happened. And put in, you know, the very, very backups. I don't think they cover, but I do think it's close.
48, 49 points, that's a lot to cover for any team in any game. The reason I want to say they will, because the last two times they played at War Memorial against FCS teams, they've beaten Pine Bluff by 42, like you said. I was listening this time. And they beat Western Carolina last year by 43 there in the season opening game. And so I want to say that they're going to cover, and I think they're probably going to put a lot of points on the board tonight just because of they've got a new coordinator who knows what the heck he's doing.
Yeah.
But that's still a lot of points. And the other thing is, I don't know how long they're going to want to keep their best players in the game. They want to get them out. They want to get them work tonight, but they also want to get them out, I think, at a decent time and keep them as fresh as they possibly can for Oklahoma State next week. So I say they don't cover, but that doesn't mean that I don't think they'll dominate.
I think they could cover. I don't think they will.
If they played their starters for four quarters,
exactly.
I think they'd win by 60.
Exactly. The reason I'm not willing to go on a limb and say they're going to cover is because I don't think that they're going to have their starters in that long.
I don't either.
Yeah. So,
what do you think? Maybe third quarter they pull them all out?
Maybe they make it to the third quarter.
How many quarterbacks take snaps?
Three.
I think three. Okay.
I think this is...
Maybe that should have been the question.
I think this has all the makings for ugly.
So you think it goes Green, Singleton, Jackson?
Here's my bold. I don't know if we're doing bold predictions. My bold prediction, you'll see Malachi Singleton to start the second half.
Really?
I think it will be really ugly, really, really fast.
Interesting. I could see where if it's a blowout at halftime, maybe they bring Green back out for one more possession in the second half, try to get a touchdown and then get him out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to win this game by a lot. And again, if they don't, Lord help us when we come back tomorrow to talk about Arkansas and UAPB. Hope you go to our website at wholehogsports.com tonight after the game or in the morning, whenever you're able to read. We'll have a lot of coverage from Little Rock, from the Razorbacks and UAPB. And we'll be back with another podcast tomorrow. I'll be on the desk here. We'll have Christina Long joining us from Little Rock. I think Ethan's going to be joining us too. He doesn't know that yet, but he's going to be joining us as well tomorrow from Little Rock after Arkansas and UAPB. We appreciate you being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Rocky Boyman, who's calling the game tonight on ESPNU, he'll also be a guest on tomorrow's show. Hope you have a great day, everyone, and we'll see you after the game.